Well, this evening we'll be considering another personification of wisdom and parallel a personification of folly from Proverbs 9. I've got a text there written in the bulletin, but let's read chapter 9 of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. He does quite well paralleling the two women, doesn't he? Ran across a good introductory illustration from Chuck Swindoll. It's interesting. One of his study guides on parenting has about halfway through, he has a sermon or a lecture on you and your daughter. And actually, it's taken much from Proverbs 9. But I want to give you his introductory illustration. Gone with the Wind was Margaret Mitchell's first and only novel. It stands as a classic, both as a book and as an adaptation into film. The backdrop, of course, you know, we're familiar with that, is the war-torn South, but it's not a book about the war between the states. It's a book about a woman, one woman, Scarlett O'Hara, a ravishing woman whom men hovered over like flies around a watermelon, as he says. But under the coy twirl of her parasol, which shaded her fine china skin, beneath her honeyed rose petal lips, behind the flirtatious flutter of her inviting eyes, there hid a woman whose heart was snares and nets. A conniving, manipulative, even ruthless woman. To bring these characteristics into sharp relief, the author continually places Scarlett beside the kind, pure, and accepting Melanie. Next to Melanie, Scarlett pales by comparison, and we see her for what she really is. I found that helpful. I hope you do too. And we have two women paralleled in Proverbs chapter 9. And it's in terms of a banquet. They're throwing a party and they give invitations. There's an outline, again, as I mentioned in your bulletin. I want us to see, first of all, Lady Wisdom's banquet, verses 1 to 6. Secondly, the responses to her invitation in verses 7 to 12. And then Madame Folly's banquet in verses 13 to 18. First of all, Lady Wisdom's banquet in verses 1 to 6. Wisdom's invitation to joy and life is displayed here in the form of open and warm hospitality. Notice two things in these six verses. First of all, there's a sumptuous feast prepared in verses 1 to 3. Oh, it is lavish. It is luxurious. She has prepared her house. There, verse 1, she's built her house, hewn her seven pillars. And then there's food, verse 2. She's slaughtered her beasts. She's mixed her wine. She's set her table. Oh, she's getting ready. The language there in verse 1 of seven pillars in the Old Testament, in the ancient Near East, that kind of language was used to indicate architectural splendor and size. I mean, it's not just a tiny dining room somewhere, okay? She has food and wine that abound. Invitations are issued, verse 3, to summon anyone who will listen to her invitation to life. The sumptuous meal feast is prepared. In verses 4 to 6, we have the sundry guests invited. Notice she just said, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Whoever lacks sense, you know, come, eat my bread, drink my wine, leave your simple ways, so forth. The simple are the ones that are invited. Simple guests. Has nothing to do with IQ. It has everything to do with wisdom and foolishness. The simple in the book of Proverbs are those who are easily enticed. Those who are gullible, they'll fall for anything. They are incautious, we could say. Her invitation in verses 5 and 6 is really a series of seven commands that she gives. And it is one of many. Her invitation is one of many that contend for the young man's allegiance. Isaiah uses the language of a banquet in Isaiah 55 as a gospel invitation. And Jesus himself in John 6 repeatedly invites people to a feast. Well, there are the sundry guests invited at Lady Wisdom's banquet. Notice then in the second heading, main heading, verses 7 to 12, the responses to the invitation of Lady Wisdom. You know, the connection of verses 1 to 6 and 5 to 12 may not be immediately apparent, but what we have here is two types of people as samples of two responses to the invitation of Lady Wisdom. Let's notice what she has. She has the response of the scoffer, verse 7, the first part of verse 8. The response of the wise, the second part of verse 8, and then verse 9. And then the difference between the two people is explained in verses 10 to 12. Responses to the invitation. First of all, the scoffer, verse 7. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. But notice here, here's what I want you to see. Even the scoffer is invited. Even the scoffer is invited. You know, part of the invitation by Lady Wisdom is a call to recognize that there are some people who will never listen, no matter what you offer them. And it has everything to do with their heart, the difference in their heart. The scoffer is described as incorrigible. Verse 7, what happens if you give a word of correction there? Well, buddy, It's going to be turned on your head. Incorrigible. He's resistant of any correction at all. Verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer or what? He'll love you to the end of your days? No, he will hate you. How dare you correct him? Or he would say, how dare you correct me? Who gave you the authority? What makes you so insightful? Oh, man. What a response to Lady Wisdom's invitation from the scoffer. In great contrast to that is the wise man. Second part of verse 8 and then verse 9. Reprove a wise man, what will he do? He'll love you. He'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. Again, oh me, what a contrast with the scoffer. The scoffer cannot stomach correction. How dare you give me advice? The wise man, however, is willing to be corrected, even by rebuke. It's interesting. One person said that the defining character trait of the wise is the capacity to receive correction with a sense of appreciation. When was the last time you received correction and expressed genuine appreciation? When was the last time I did? Well, what's the difference? What makes the difference between the scoffer and the wise man? Well, that's found in verses 10 to 12, and we have an explanation of the difference between the two. What is it? Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me, your days will be multiplied, years added to your life. If you're wise, you'll be wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The reason for the difference between the two responses to the invitation of Lady Wisdom has everything to do with the fear of the Lord. I think years ago we had a study on that, even a series on it. Wisdom's final words summarize the heart of the message of the first nine chapters here. After chapter nine, the style of writing changes. So people genuinely consider chapters 1 to 9 to be together as kind of a book of wisdom there. After this, it changes. In this, the fear of the Lord summarizes the heart of it. Again, a repetition of the theme, and the normal expectation is that such a person will live a long life. A long life. A blessed life. That's the difference. The fear of the Lord. Who do you fear? What do you fear? We probably could list a number of things. But over them all, do you fear the Lord? Do you take heed to what He says? Are you eager? Do you buy in to His counsel? I hope so. Well, there's Lady Wisdom and her banquet and the responses there. The chapter concludes with the contrast. Verses 13 to 18, Madame Folly's banquet. Everything is directly opposed to Lady Wisdom. Notice three things in this concluding paragraph. We have the hostess described, the guests are invited, and the result is startling. Notice the hostess described in verses 13 to 15. She is described in terms of her character. not how well-dressed she is. Oh, how fashionable. No. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. Notice that she's loud. She's boisterous. The idea here behind the wording is it emphasizes unrest, commotion, just noise, an unsettled spirit. Notice she's also described as seductive. The root meaning here, to entice, to deceive, to persuade. The bottom line is she knows nothing. Nothing. And that's especially in the light of verse 10 about the fear of the Lord. She knows nothing of that. Then her invitation follows in verses 14 to 15. She seeks to imitate the action and entreaties of Lady Wisdom. Yeah. She sits, at the door, takes a seat, highest places in town, calling to those who are going on their way. Again, she's seeking to imitate the actions and entreaties of Lady Wisdom. And the point here, of course, is only the discerning, only the wise will tell the difference and make the right choice. You got two women. And they've fixed a feast for you. They're inviting you to come in. Which do you choose? Well, the hostess is described. That's followed by the guests that are invited in verses 16 and 17. Whoever is simple, this is Lady Folly, Madam Folly. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to one who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Apparently, in this chapter, Madam Folly is inviting the same audience that were invited by Lady Wisdom. But Madam Folly's banquet has to do with stolen water. Stolen water. The idea here in the language is that it is that which is forbidden. That's what I'm offering. I'm offering you that which is forbidden. The language of a bread eaten in secret. It's literally you're eating the bread of secrecy. We don't want everybody to know, what the meal is like. We need to be discreet in who finds out what we're doing. The bread of secrecy, because it's stolen or forbidden. So those are her invitations, her guests that are invited. And then the chapter ends with a startling result. But he, the one who is invited, does not know that the dead are there. That her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Her guests are dead. Her guests are dead. The language here in the Old Testament has to do with a ghostly apparition. Those who appear to be shades, who appear to be shadows, and nothing real. That's all that's left of them. A shade, a shadow of their former self. They are there And they're in the depths of Sheol. Sheol in the Old Testament was the realm of the dead. A good passage on that is Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verses 9 to 11. It's a good picture of Sheol. Let's see, is that right? Chapter 14. I turned to the wrong place. Chapter 14, verses 9 to 11. Sheol beneath is stirred up to meet you when you come. This is Isaiah is taunting the Babylonian Empire. Okay? So it's a taunt from the prophet of God. And he's speaking to them saying, Sheol is beneath to meet you when you come. It rouses the shades, that is, the other inhabitants of the place of the dead. The shades are aroused to greet you. They're all who were leaders of the earth. It rises from their thrones. All who are kings of the nations, all of them will answer and say to you, you have to become as weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. The sound of your harps, maggots are laid as a bed beneath you, and worms are your cover. What a ghastly picture of Sheol, the place of the dead. And yet that's from where the guests for Madame Folly have come, from their maggot beds and the shades, to join her in her folly. Well, there's our chapter. Isaiah and the writer of Proverbs are not the only ones that talked about feasts. There's someone else. The Lord Jesus Christ loved to do that. Matthew 22, one of his parables of a wedding feast. And talk about those who were worthy to come, those who were unworthy to come. He compares the kingdom of heaven to a king who gave a wedding feast. You're no doubt familiar with this passage. Those who were invited, the well-to-do, the affluent, they declined the invitation. Perhaps they're already going somewhere else. So the king says to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. So what do? Go out to the highway. Go to the crossroads. Bid them come. Find as many as you can. Gather all whom you find, both good and bad, so that my wedding hall will be filled with guests. Wedding feast banquet. Jesus again in Luke 14 speaks of another great banquet. And those who are too busy to come to the first invitation. So what does the host do? Again, says to his servants, and he's mad this time, he's angry. Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, those who don't get invited, those who don't have the proper attire, those who don't have good manners, get them and bring them in. Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Y'all, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does in the gospel. He compels us. We who are not fit, who don't have good manners in His court, who don't know how to behave with the host, you come in. You come in. I want my house full, and I've got a banquet prepared just for you. What a wonderful picture. A great banquet. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate wise man. And he invites those that are not included anywhere else to his wedding feast. Amen. All right, well, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this chapter. Thank you for the voice of wisdom and the picture and the contrast drawn here. You have told us that all of your scripture is breathed out from you. And it is profitable. It is beneficial. But Father, we come to you. We can have all the right tools and paid attention and done our homework. We can't send your word to our hearts. So we ask God the Holy Spirit, the one who carried Isaiah along as he wrote, who carried Paul along, who carried Solomon along as they wrote, that the Holy Spirit would seal your word fast to our hearts and would bear much fruit that would honor you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.